Enjoy the Paul Mooney clip.
Two big old Starbucks. They're going to make all the money. You know y'all love Starbucks. White folks love it. Coffee, latte, mate, hotte, tate. Uli, fushu, say, I'm la toi. They love all that shit. $1,000 a cup. Y'all don't care. They put crack in that coffee. That's why you keep going back. Starbucks opened at 10. You there at 6 o'clock. Latte, mocha, mocha, coco, 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 soco. I went Starbucks. $1,000 a cup. Problem, no problem. White folks line up around the block. Starbucks. I know how to make white folks stop going to Starbucks tomorrow morning. 6 o'clock news. Knickers have just bought Starbucks. They'll stop going, I'm not going to that goddamn Starbucks. I like my coffee black, but not that damn black.
As a Jewish student, I feel like it's my duty to be here every day as long as possible to vocalize that Jews on campus don't feel unsafe because of Palestinian organizing for Palestinian freedom. We feel unsafe when our administration penalizes us for speaking our minds, when our administration calls in the NYPD to tackle our students to the ground.
Tell them again. This is a Jewish woman, y'all. This is a Jewish woman.
As a Jewish student, I feel like it's my duty to be here every day as long as possible to vocalize that Jews on campus don't feel unsafe because of Palestinian organizing for Palestinian freedom. We feel unsafe when our administration penalizes us for speaking our minds, when our administration calls in the NYPD to tackle our students to the ground.
That's why they're scared. See, I'm telling you, man, the police, it don't matter what environment or what scene or whatever, like when they come around, man, it's just like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They said they felt more uncomfortable with the police presence than they did about anything else going on. And this is out her mouth. I'm gonna play it one more time.
As a Jewish student, I feel like it's my duty to be here every day as long as...
Her name's Kendra from NYU. Appreciate you, Kendra. She might like black and Latin people. Like, just hear her stance, just like, these are the kind of people we need around. Like, you know what I'm saying? It would have been so easy for her, just as a Jewish woman, just to just immerse herself in all that and just be a part of that and be like, oh, fuck the Palestinians. But she's able to, like, sift through everything and just realize, like, these people aren't here. Like, you know, it's kind of fucked up. Not kind of fucked up. I was just thinking about this earlier. You know, the United States, like, we've been sending, you know, aid over there and shit like that. Money and shit, basically, to these wars and stuff. We're sending them money, right? And they're bombing the Palestinians or whatever. You know, tell them, hey, go over here to this tent and to this little setup over here, and we'll give you food, we'll give you shelter, there'll be water over there, you guys can get clothes and stuff and just, you know, relax and chill. They send everybody over there and then they bomb it. That type of shit. You know what I mean?
It's possible to vocalize that Jews on campus don't feel unsafe because of Palestinian organizing for Palestinian freedom. We feel unsafe when our administration penalizes us for speaking our minds, when our administration calls in the...
Forgot to turn my do not disturb on.
How's everyone doing? Home from work, letting Charlie out. Oh, let me turn my do not disturb back on. Hey, Charlie, How was your morning? Man, I like my job and shit, but man, sometimes loading and unloading them trucks and shit can be, especially like early in the morning, you know what I mean? You get a little monotonous, but I need my job. Need my job, right? That's my lifeline. You know what I'm saying? It's nice as hell out here, damn. Because I've been inside pretty much. Because when we go to work in the morning, it'll be, you know, kind of dark still. So this is the first, like, true sunshine I've gotten today. Hopefully you got a poop, Jarla. How's everyone doing? Light the cigarette up. Here, I'm gonna light the cigarette up, bro. Sit down for a minute, actually. Yep. So we're just out here chilling now. Charlie's staring at me. Oh, I got a treat for you. Here, bro. Brought him a treat. Here, let's go back this way. Someone's always, like, sometimes when I come out here to walk the dog, because it's along the river walk, like, it's all nice and shit, right? But sometimes it's like there's always people walking their dogs and shit. So it's like, I don't want to have to worry about, you know, another dog or something. Because Charlie ain't going to fight no dog. Like, he just wants to eat. He just wants to eat and feel secure. Because sometimes, like, other dogs would come around him and he won't even notice. He'd be so oblivious. It's like I gotta be his eyes and ears for him too sometimes. There's another stereotype though too. Like Mexican people, we love chihuahuas and poodles. We had a poodle when we were younger. Like white people, they normally like have, they like have bigger dogs, more aggressive dogs like pit bulls, Rottweilers, shit like that. Like women, usually white women, they like golden retrievers and Labradors, stuff like that. Yeah, it's nice as hell out here. Y'all get out here and get some sun. I don't know whatever state you're in. I think it's like almost 60 right now here in Milwaukee. But yeah, so we're gonna do a staycation this weekend. I think we're gonna go to Madison. I had to finish talking to Michelle about it. We'll see. It all depends on if we feel like driving, because we have to take the pets and all that. Whenever we do that kind of stuff, we always take our pets. So we'll see. We'll have that discussion later. We might just want to just chill all weekend here. You know what I mean? So we'll see. But I'm going to get going. I'm going to get in, make myself something to eat, and probably relax for a little bit, and then I'll go get Michelle. And we'll be back to holler at y'all later this weekend, I'm sure of it. Peace. Get out there and enjoy some weather. It's nice out here if you're in Wisconsin. Get outside. You ready to go in now, brother? I really need you to shit. Thursday afternoon, y'all. It is Thursday afternoon, 12:08 p.m. I am back from work. Got me something to eat. Took Charlie out. Made sure he had food and shit like that. Make sure he didn't have to poop or nothing. Charlie's our dog, in case there's like new, brand new people listening and you don't know, they're like, who's Charlie? Yeah, that's our dog. So how's everyone doing? This is DBJ, it's Thursday afternoon, and I thought
I go on the lab, get on the laptop, and see what's going on out here in this world. So I pulled up this article. I'm gonna play this clip for here. Play this clip for you guys. So give me 1 second and I'm gonna cue it up. And then I got some burning spear in the background. So just give me a second. We're gonna cue this up and see what these people out here are doing. Here we go.
Police believe that former Yakima police officer Elias Huizar shot and killed his girlfriend at William Wiley Elementary School this afternoon before kidnapping a child. No children at the school were hurt, and the school was placed on lockdown. The suspect fled the scene after the shooting, and Amber Alert has been issued saying that Huizar has kidnapped one-year-old Roman Huizar. Huizar is believed to have fled in a silver 2009 Toyota Corolla with license plate number CPZ475. Again, CBZ4745. West Richland police say that Huizar is armed and considered dangerous, likely to commit more crimes. According to the CBS affiliate in Seattle, while serving a search warrant on Huizar's home this evening, officers say they found a second homicide victim at his residence. It's being reported that victim was Huizar's wife. Couldn't believe.
Damn, that's fucked up. So you see what I'm saying? Like, normally, you know what I'm saying? I try to just stick to messing with the whites and stuff like that, with the crime and shit like that, man. But this dude killed his whole family. It says a cop wanted for raping and murdering a 17-year-old girl and his wife. Yeah, this is a... He looks Latin, I don't know. Police are searching for officer. He's a cop, though. And when it comes to the police, it's even worse, man. Like, when they do foul shit. Because no matter how you think about it, you know, the police are supposed to be... They're supposed to set the standard, right? You know, you can't expect, you know, who we want to call the criminal, like the perpetrator or whatever, like whoever the cop is after, you know what I'm saying? We normally try to criminalize that individual and we make it out like the cops are all perfect, they do no wrong and shit like that or whatever, you know what I'm saying? You can't expect the criminal person to be you know what I'm saying? Abiding by the law, and you know, they're not going to flee from officers, or they're not going to, you know what I'm saying? They're doing criminal shit. If someone's doing criminal shit, they're just doing criminal shit. You can't expect that individual to be responsible, or you can't expect them to pull over when they're being chased by the police. Should they do all that? Should people be out committing crimes? No, I'm saying, but in that situation, right? The cop is supposed to be the responsible one, right? He or she's supposed to be the one making the right decisions. You know what I'm saying? Not being criminal is basically what I'm saying. So when it comes to police, I hold them to a higher standard. Especially when you got the gun, the handcuffs, the billy club, the walkie-talkie, the taser, the ability to just arrest me and throw me in jail. You know what I'm saying? And then I got to worry about you guys, cops, doing this kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So this cop is out here murdering and raping people and stuff like that, but probably just pulled somebody over a short time before that for doing the same thing. So when it comes to these police, man, like they need, you know what I'm saying? I don't care what color they are, basically, is what I'm saying. A dirty cop is a dirty cop, man. You know what I'm saying? They're all the same. So yeah, this guy says a cop wanted for raping and murdering a 17-year-old girl and his wife. Police are searching for Officer Elian Huizar. That's H-U-I-Z-A-R. The William Wiley Elementary School shooter. So he shot up a school and then raped and murdered his wife. Yeah, he murdered her. He raped and murdered a 17-year-old girl and his wife. Elian Huizar killed his ex-wife and 17-year-old girlfriend and kidnapped a
1-year-old because he was facing charges for child rape from February and was supposed to be in court the same morning. Yeah, this is the thin blue line. This is the, you know, all them people walking around with the back the blue and back the badge and all that shit. All that started because of the Black Lives Matter thing. It was like white people had to come up with something, you know, to combat that. White people, you don't need to come up with your own slogans and your own little things. You guys are the majority. You run and dominate everything. You don't need to be coming up with your own thing. That's why black and brown people, we have to create our own things. Look at like, you can even take that into entertainment, like how black and brown people got to create our own award shows just to feel accepted or wanted. The BET Hip Hop Awards. We shouldn't have to create those. The Latin Music Awards. Like, Latin people shouldn't have to create their own music awards just so they can be recognized and win things. You know what I'm saying? That's because white people, they dominate and control all the spaces, the Grammys, all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? The movies, the Oscars, all that stuff. Yeah, but so that's what's going on with that individual. Here's another one. Oh, well, here's the information on that. So I'm going to just read this information. This is out of Washington State. So anyone out there on the West Coast, this is for y'all. This is out of Washington State, though. I'm going to just read this thing again. It says, police are searching for a man suspected of killing his wife and girlfriend and fleeing the scene with a 1-year-old child. So he abducted kidnapped a 1-year-old child. West Richland Police Department identified the suspect as 40-year-old Elias Huazar. Police responded to a shooting on the grounds at William Wiley Elementary School in West Richland, Washington, at 3:23 p.m. local time on April 22nd. One adult female was pronounced deceased at the scene outside the school. There were no other casualties. Police confirmed in a statement posted to Facebook, adding that they're treating it as an isolated incident and that the person of interest had fled the scene. According to local media outlet, the Tri-City Herald, Huazar's ex-wife was a para-educator at the school. Per an Amber Alert issued by Washington State Patrol on X, formerly known as Twitter, Huazar is also suspected of abducting a 1-year-old child, Roman Huazar, and murdering his girlfriend. Police later confirmed that while serving a search warrant at Huazar's residence, West Richland police detectives and partner agencies had discovered a second crime scene. A second homicide victim was found inside the residence. No information about the victim's identity is being released at the time, except to say that it is not Huazar, but that the victim is a known associate of the suspect, police stated in a second Facebook post. Investigators believe that Huazar is armed and considered dangerous. Well, yeah, he's a police. I'm sure he has all kinds of weapons. And is likely to commit more crimes, police added. Per the Amber Alert, authorities believe the suspect is possibly heading to Mexico. The report added that they're looking for a silver 2009 Toyota Corolla with Washington license plates. C, B as in boy, Z as in Zenith, 4745. So that's C, B as in boy, Z, 4745. This is out of Washington State Patrol Amber Alert, child abducted, taken. The victim, her name is Roman Huazar. She's 1 year old, 2 feet tall, about 25 pounds, brown hair, brown eyes, and the clothing, they don't know what she has on. The suspect is Elias Huazar, dirty cop. This cop killed and raped people. He's 5'6", about 170 pounds, brown hair, brown eyes, saying he had a black hat, black long sleeve, light blue jeans, and black shoes. And he's driving a silver 2009 Toyota Corolla, Washington license plate CBZ4745. So if y'all out there in the Washington or the West Coast area, you know what I'm saying, be on the lookout for that. For a silver 2009 Toyota Corolla out there in Washington area. CBZ4745. Y'all see him? Get him off the street. This cop is on some straight up ass garbage. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's that. I came across that one, you know what I'm saying? When I was just scrolling through my feed and everything, I saw that shit and I was like, holy man. Yup, dude killed his ex-wife and 17-year-old girlfriend. Dude had, so he had a 17-year-old girlfriend too? Yeah, this dude is nuts. Check this crazy ass story out. Man, dude, like, I'm telling you, man, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm gonna have to do a really deep dive and just see, like, if there is information or, like books on that or whatever, man, because I'm serious, too. I'm not even trying to be funny, man. The majority of the time, man, these serial killers or these people that are out eating people and cutting people's bodies up, just this super sick shit, it's normally white people, white men. What is it? What is that? Gary, here's one. This is from the Exposed Racist and Pedophile website. Says a serial killer confessed for 11 murders on his death row bed and dies in prison months after being convicted for a 1996 rape and murder. Gary Artman wrote he never felt guilty about raping them. And then it says, convicted killer confesses to 11 murders on his deathbed. So he admitted to killing 11 more people and shit, you know what I'm saying? It says a Kent County judge sentenced Gary D. Artman to life without parole for the murder of 29-year-old Hammock and a consecutive life sentence for rape. During closing arguments in the murder trial, Kent County Senior Assistant Prosecuting Attorney Blair Latchman told the jury, when you strangle someone, it takes 2 or 3 minutes for that to occur. Gary Artman, who was convicted of killing a Kent County woman in 1996, died from natural causes while incarcerated. Serial killer trucker Gary Artman wrote he never felt guilty about raping them. On September 28th, Gary Artman was convicted of murdering and sexually assaulting Sharon Hammack. The case had gone cold until DNA from a murder in Maryland linked Artman to the Hammack murder. His intent was to kill. I have some audio here.
Was on his deathbed in a Michigan prison, came out of a coma and confessed to killing 11 women. He then died.
Now, police in Kent County, Michigan are trying to give some closure to families whose loved ones were murdered. Susan Samples reports Gary Artman, who died of lung cancer, was defiant until the very end when he surprisingly confessed to the crimes.
This is Tommy. Hey, Tommy. Andy Hines, Detective Sergeant with the Kent County Sheriff's Office.
On the other end of the line, a son who's been waiting 28 years for this call to finally know the face of the monster who took his mom away.
Unfortunately, he did disclose us on some details where we believe he's responsible for your mom's murder.
Tommy Dennis was just 7 years old when his mom, Kathleen Dennis, known for her laughter and bubbly spirit, traveled with her sister from their hometown in Nebraska to work at Division Avenue in Grand Rapids Red Light District. That's where police are now confident that she crossed paths with serial killer Gary Artman.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we're still working, Tommy, on several other cases in the Grand Rapids area around the same time. We believe he could be linked to many more.
Over 3 years in the mid-90s, 17 moms, sisters, wives, most working in the sex industry, were found murdered in and around Grand Rapids. Four of them, including Kathleen Dennis.
I'm just saying, man. Hold on. Yeah. I'm just saying, man. What is it that I'm asking a serious, serious question. I'm not joking in one bit, man. And I'm not saying there's not black serial killers. There are. There's Chinese serial killers. There's Jamaican serial killers. There's Mongolian serial. There's, you know what I'm saying? There's women serial killers. But I'm saying, like, I'm just saying, like, that the majority of the people doing these heinous ass crimes are white men. You know, and then people are going to be upset at me for pointing it out. You know what I'm saying?
For nearly three decades, there were no answers until forensic genetic genealogists, using suspect DNA from the 1996 murder of Sharon Hammock, identified Gary Artman as Hammock's killer.
But all these other murders, they're idiots. You detectives right there, excuse my language, are f***ing idiots.
Artman, defiant at his sentencing, stuck to his claim of innocence. But 3 months later, as he neared death, a stunning confession. Sources confirmed to Target 8 that the long-haul trucker said he murdered 11 women, 10 in Grand Rapids, including Sharon Hammock, and one in the state of Maryland. 24-year-old Dusty Shuck was found beaten and stabbed off I-70 near a truck stop.
Man.
She was an amazing soul. She was good inside and out.
Dusty Shuck's mom, Lori Kreitzer, told Target 8 Artman was in a coma on a respirator, expected to die.
And he did not die. He came out of the coma after the respirator went out and fully confessed to Dusty's murder. So at least he did that and died the 28th.
At least my ass dude's a bitch. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? That's just, I don't know what's going on with that, man. Maybe somebody can tell me why it's usually them doing this stuff. It's usually them doing this stuff, guys. So I'm looking at racism here in Wisconsin high schools. So I specifically looked up the Wisconsin high school with the most racial complaints by parents or students or whoever. And it's the Burlington Area School District. It says the Burlington Area School District has 30 days to submit a corrective action plan to deal with this racially hostile environment, discriminatory discipline practices, and other issues identified by the State Department of Public Instruction. So it says DPI got involved after Darnisha Garbaugh, the parent of two Burlington students, appealed the school board's initial response to her complaint about a series of racist incidents involving her two daughters. Garbaugh listed so many incidents from the period when her children were 9 and 12 years old to when they were 12 and 15 respectively, that she ran out of room on the district's formal complaint form. So she didn't even have more, she needed more paper to finish writing the complaints out. She said that she is pleased with the DPI's decision. I'm excited that DPI for the most part ruled in our favor. I'm glad that they are not mincing words in their ruling when it comes to the Burlington School District and the racially hostile environment that they have basically been contributing to for students of color. In the, says Garbaugh, in the same token, I am not happy about the district's response to what DPI has decided. It seems that they have taken a defensive approach, which is what they have been doing this entire time. Burlington Superintendent Steve Plank released a video statement in response to the DPI's order. And then he says, even though the ruling is difficult to read, we respect the expertise of DPI and want nothing more than for every student we serve to feel a sense of belonging at the school. That's bullshit. The Burlington Area School District would never intentionally treat black and brown students differently based on race. We most certainly regret leaving anyone impacted or feeling this way. So supposedly here's their DPI plan. Prevent further instances of discrimination and discipline. Adequately redress the racially hostile environment present in the district. Review its past reporting on discrimination complaints to ensure compliance with the district policies and procedures and enact clear guidelines for future reporting. Now let's see. I'm going to pull up some videos and see what incidents we have here. Oh, also it says there's other schools too. Other school, white school areas that are, you know, being racial. And they're getting called out on it. Here's another, it says the DPI order itself cites past issues in two other school districts as well. River Falls and Platteville. Remember we were talking about on an episode, I think it might have been last week or a couple weeks ago, about Platteville. I don't know nobody black that lives in Platteville. And if they do go to Platteville, I'm talking about the college. If they do go to Platteville, it was because they got a basketball scholarship. Because it was a few guys from Nicolet that ended up getting scholarships to go to play at Platteville. I think they're like a D2 or D3 or some shit like that. But other than that, I didn't know nobody black or brown going to school out there. So yeah, it says Platteville, which led to investigations by the Federal Office of Civil Rights. In the past 5 years, 14 complaints alleging racial discrimination have been appealed to DPI. In 6 cases, DPI officials found the district had correctly determined there was no discrimination. In 2, the party settled. The River Falls complaint was withdrawn so it could be taken to the Office of Civil Rights instead. Elmbrook, like Burlington, got an order in its case in 2 cases that were filed in 2021, and Cedarburg and the Madison Metro Police School District are still awaiting a decision. So it sounds like to me, a lot of these white school districts, you know what I'm saying? Between these kids, I think it's mostly the kids, but it's some of these student, you know, parents and teachers and school members and shit like that. Here's one that says, additionally, a parent sued the Kettle Moraine School District over racial bullying and harassment earlier this school year. And some Prairie teachers have been placed on paid leave after teaching students a lesson plan that had asked they would punish a slave. Asked how they would punish a slave. So teachers around here, white teachers, are teaching kids a lesson plan that asks how they would punish a slave. Wow. That's crazy. I'm gonna see if I can pull some video up, y'all. So these schools are having issues, you know what I'm saying? And it ain't gonna get talked about unless you know, the news reports it, or us black and brown people talk about it. It's gonna get swept under the rug like no one's gonna talk about it. You know what I'm saying? It'll just be lost in the sauce. All right, I'm gonna play the video from this individual. He's the superintendent of the Burlington School District. We're gonna listen to his lame ass speech about it, about the racism.
Good morning. On Friday afternoon, the Burlington Area School District received a ruling from the Department of Public Instruction pertaining to a discrimination suit that was filed this past spring. Even though the ruling is difficult to read, we respect the expertise of DPI and want nothing more than for every student we serve to feel a sense of belonging at school. The Burlington Area School District would never intentionally treat black and brown students differently based on race. We most certainly regret leaving anyone impacted or feeling this way. We have been proactively working to reject all forms of racism, discrimination, and harassment while seeking to dismantle racism. Our equity work is imperative, as 1 in 5 students in the Burlington Area School District is a minority, and we are in the kid business. Hence, we must create an environment where every student believes like they can succeed. To accomplish this, we realize that equity must be evident in all that we do within the district. DPI outlined 4 steps as corrective actions, many of which the district has already pursued. We are working.
I've heard enough of that. Here's some more. Check it out, y'all. This is Students of Color Back to School Event is Racial Discrimination. This is at Appleton East High School. So the whites at Appleton East High School are treating black and browns like shit. What else is new? Listen up.
Appleton East High School posted this flyer to its Facebook page last week.
The flyer on Facebook clearly said that there was going to be a freshman orientation that was only open to freshmen of color.
The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, a legal and policy center promoting limited government, liberty, and education reform, is criticizing the back-to-school event. Dan Lennington, deputy counsel, says Will sent a letter to East asking the school to remove the post, threatening legal action.
The school district is part of the government, and it's not allowed to discriminate based on race under the U.S. Constitution and several other laws.
The flyer goes on to say the purpose of the meeting is for students to meet the cultural advisor. Students will also get to meet the principal, check out the school, and ask any questions.
This is obviously racial discrimination. There's no justification for this.
The post from Appleton East about the meet and greet has been shared over 300 times, has more than 500 comments, and more than 200 reactions. There are comments from people on the post thanking the school for having an event like this. One comment reads, "All students belong at our Appleton schools, and this is a great event to help New East students and families get connected to cultural support staff and admin." While another says, "Thanks for doing this. We look forward to attending." But when 2014 Appleton East graduate Bernardo Cano saw the post, it left a poor taste in his mouth.
One of the greatest things that I wanted out of being able to come to the country was to be able to be included in things, being able to see no difference between myself and the other kids.
Originally from Mexico, Cano moved to Appleton when he was a little boy. He says no one should be defined by their skin color.
It makes us feel as if like, all those times that we came to school to take our pictures along with our friends that weren't the same color as us, it makes it feel as if none of that mattered. And we're kind of back to
wow,
the 20th
point.
Century, so yeah. to speak.
Will states Appleton East has not explained, at least publicly, why it planned this segregated event.
Let me just stop that for a sense. Y'all already know. If you don't, I mentioned it a couple times. Yeah, Appleton's a sketchy little area up there. Like, you wouldn't catch me dead up there. They killed my homie. They killed my guy up there, Scooby. Jimmy Sanders. Yep, go look it up. They killed him in Appleton. About 5-6 years ago, he went up there to one of them little bars up there. He was hanging out. He wasn't doing nothing wrong. He was hanging out, and something happened in there. Something jumped off. He had got into it with a guy, but Jimmy didn't have a gun or nothing. So patrons at the bar called the police or whatever. Police come over there. They end up shooting and killing Jimmy. And the other individual he was into it with or whatever was the one who had the gun, was the one doing all the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? And the police ended up coming in there and just shooting Jimmy and shit. Just coming there, guns ablaze, shot Jimmy, killed him. Come to find out, Jimmy didn't have a gun. He wasn't doing nothing wrong. They ended up charging the dude that was actually the one fucking up in there. They ended up charging him with Jimmy's murder, when in actuality, the cop is the one who shot and killed Jimmy. Ain't that cold? That's cold. Y'all go look that case up. I'm going to play this again, though. So they are, yeah, Appleton's got a pretty shitty history.
But in a statement sent to Fox 11, the Appleton Area School District says, "We know how incredibly important it is for our incoming freshmen to transition into high school successfully." It points out the school is holding several events to help incoming freshmen and their families to feel comfortable and confident in their transition, including an additional event where students and families could attend a meet and greet with the cultural advisor, have a meal, and take a tour of the building.
Are they going to bring watermelon and all that shit? Bring chicken and shit like that? All the stereotypical food that they think black people only eat and shit? Because, you know, that's happened too before. Where people, like white people, create like an event or something. They'll be trying to like include black people and shit and try to make us feel welcome and all this stuff, right? Like the thought would be okay, right? The heart would be in the right place sometimes. But then they like overdo it, or they say the wrong thing, or they're just so naive to black shit. They end up just insulting us or, you know, offending us in some kind of way. And then when you call them out on it, they look dumbfounded. Like, what did I do?
I do have a strong opinion because I did grow up here not knowing the language and having to completely relearn the sense of feeling a part of a community.
Fox 11 also reached out to multiple equity, diversity, and inclusion coordinators to get their input. Outagamie County's EDI officer, Major Cooper, says students from marginalized populations and their parents and guardians face many barriers entering secondary school systems. In a statement, he says, "I do think that allowing the students and parents to come into the school on a specific night and learn about all the resources that Appleton East offers is a great jumpstart to freshman year." He goes on to say, "Where I think the controversy came up is the specific words that were used. As we all navigate this EDI lens, we must be aware that words matter and can be interpreted in different ways." Forrest Welcher, a 2017 graduate from Appleton East, agrees.
I understand the intention. Like, obviously, it's not bad intentions. I don't think they're really malicious. It's in, obviously, but I just feel like they could have worded it a lot better.
The letter Will sent to East states if the school does not remove the post and open the back-to-school nights to all races, Will file that formal complaint with the Office of Civil Rights, U.S. Department of Education.
And here we got another one, you guys. See what they're talking about on this one. Here we go. Beloit coach claims racist experience at girls' basketball game. So there's some racism.
WKOW was the first to tell you the Wastosha Central High School District has opened an investigation after an incident at the girls' basketball game against Beloit last night. The Beloit head coach claims her team had, quote, an uncomfortable experience that resulted in them feeling unsafe at Wastosha Central High School and ultimately not competing in the varsity game. She says some fans directed noises and gestures toward her team that she interpreted to be racist. On Facebook, Delana Johnson says, quote, "I will never allow these young women to play in an unsafe environment. I will not continue to be disrespected by individuals who believe their status gives them freedom to disrespect black women." The Wastosha Central District Administrator shared with 27 News a letter sent to parents. In it, he says his district has had positive communication with administration in Beloit. And he says, quote, "Both school districts are taking the events from last night very seriously. Our mission is to ensure that every student at our school and the students from visiting teams have a safe and enjoyable experience when participating in in-school activities." 27 News reached out to the school district of Beloit. A district spokesperson says the coach's comments do not speak on behalf of the district.
Hey, y'all remember this? This is here in Wisconsin when the Republicans came through here on some fake election stuff. Remember that? I was trying to say black and brown people are sneaky and we're thieves and can't trust us and all that shit, right? Isn't that one of the stereotypes that white people have of black and brown people? Well, when you listen to this, what do these people sound like?
President of the United States, and 10 votes for, the result of it is 10 votes for Donald Trump for President of the United States, and 10 votes for Mike Pence, Vice President.
You know what's so crazy? I stopped for a second. Is not only is it fucked up what they did, this is the fake, the Wisconsin fake electors, you know what I'm saying? Not only did they do the bull stuff, right? They filmed it, they taped it, and put it online. That shows the white privilege. They were so sure of themselves that they were going to get away with that shit that they even taped it. Oh, and here's the other cold thing I was thinking about. This is crazy, too. I don't even know how this thought popped in my head, but I was thinking about the Palestine stuff and Israel stuff and just all the wars and stuff going on, you know, Ukraine and all that. And you know what's so crazy about it? The United States, we're sending over money, right? We're aiding both of those wars, right? So we're sending money We're helping Israel. And they're bombing. So we're sending them money to help fight the war or whatever, right? With Hamas or whatever. So then they're bombing. We're sending them money. They're bombing innocent people. Okay? I'm talking about, put aside the Hamas stuff, whatever. Whatever with that. If they're terrorists, go get them, whatever. But the individual people, the families, and the innocent Palestinians that have nothing to do with that stuff, we're bombing them too. Sending them over to camps and shelters that places have set up over there in Israel. They're setting up these places and tell them, here, you can go over here and get shelter, food, water, clothing. You'll be safe over here. They send them over there and then they bomb them and shit. And then we turn around and send the Palestinians money and food and aid and stuff. So first we send money to help basically bomb them. And then we turn right back around and send money to help them recover after we fuck them up. You know, that shit's cold as hell, man.
The result of it is 10 votes for Donald Trump for President of the United States and 10 votes for Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States.
Them sound like white guys to me and white women. Let's play that back. These are the fake electors here in Wisconsin.
The result of it is 10 votes for Donald Trump for President of the United States and 10 votes for Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States.
So we have 10 electoral votes for President Donald J. Trump and 10 electoral votes for Vice President Michael R. Pence. I will ask the staff to now distribute the 6 original certificates to the electors. We'll start and I'll sign and then we'll move around.
Yep. There they go. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy. That is so crazy to me. That they thought that they would actually get away with that. And here's another thing, right? I'm always talking about race, right? Just always, right? You know what I'm saying? But here's another way that shows you just how whites dominate things. And when I make these comparisons, because I know all white people ain't bad. The majority of them aren't. You're probably shocked that I'm saying that. But there's enough white people out here controlling everything. You know what I mean? To make things bad out here. You know what I'm saying? Here's an example. The Supreme Court. How many Supreme Court people are there? I think there's 9, right? If I'm just thinking in the top of my head, I think there's only 2 black people. Well, really only 1, because Clarence Thomas ain't black. He don't act black. He don't act black. And then it's everyone else is white. I think there's 6 white people, 2 black people, well, 1 in reality, because Clarence Thomas ain't black. So I'm going to just count him as white. So you got 7 white people, 1 black person, and then you have a Latin woman or Asian woman, I believe. That's it. That's it. There you have it again. Mostly white dominated controlled spaces where they're making the decisions and stuff. They're the ones who decided on Roe v. Wade. And that one lady, the newest one, Carrie, I think her last name starts with a B or whatever. She was the newest one. She's the one who, I think, helped flip the vote to turn that Roe v. Wade over. Sure, I'm not sure about that, so maybe I shouldn't comment on that. But yeah, it's there you have it, though. Mostly white people. You know what I'm saying? That's all. All right, Charlie, ready to go out? Because we got to go get your mom in a little bit.
Enjoy my outro music today. This is Styles P. Check it out. Don't hate it.
messed up.
Nah, we ain't the type to type.
Nah, for sure. Do this for the sport, who wanna fuck with us? Seven in this bitch, the crowd pump me up.
Let's go.
I'd rather not shed blood, but if it's
I'd rather not.
Nah,
niggas try to ask what's up. I say the price of work. Never speak on a cold, you ain't disciple. Yeah, I stay on the move, homie, the night
I'm moving.
Father, forgive, they bring the pipe to Lord. Church. Even the mosque, nothing's getting squashed. Nothing. Ship is up until your head is off, that money's getting washed. Probably in a Dodge, playing some Mary Blige. That's a Hellcat, been a hell and back, cause I'm hard now. I'm parked in the garage, headed to the crib. If it's up, it's all good, cause the scammers in the bars. Niggas said they got bars, they gotta convince me. SP and Quincy, my lifestyle is large.
I ain't nothing to talk about, my nigga.